Morning. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to be in Luke 9, 28 through 36 this morning. It says, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they had become fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.' And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You can be seated. Not only is he Jordan's husband, he's my son-in-law, and I'm very, very thankful for him. My goodness. Wherever he's going, I'm with him, all right? Just so you know, we got an upgrade when we got Kyle Strickland into our family. If you've got your Bibles, I hope that you have them. I want you to open them up, leave them open, keep them turned on. I'm one of these guys that says, I want you to take a few notes. If you don't know, right there in front of you, that connect card on the backside of it is blank. There should be a pen. I want you to be able to see that. It is a joy to be with you. I told the first service, and I feel it a little bit here. I'm a little nervous about being in front of you. It's like coming home, and I am so thankful. I am one of your pastors. I get to serve down at the Riverdale campus, and being able to be with you is like old home week for me, getting to look out and see different people. I told someone in the first service, hey, if I stare at you, I'm not preaching at you. I just got to have some people I want to look at, all right? So don't anybody get nervous, but if the Spirit starts working in your life, don't push him away or anything. Last week, Pat talked to you about a podcast that we are all, as campus pastors, got involved in. And on your app, if you don't use the LifePoint at Church app, you need to use that. On the LifePoint Church app, that podcast is live right now. It is a Holy Week podcast, and it is designed to help you get prepared for Holy Week. There are some, we talk as campus pastors about what the Lord is showing us, kind of leading us through Holy Week. There's also on there some resources that you could purchase to get ready. Holy Week begins next Sunday. And so you take a few moments this week to listen. If you're online with us today, listen, you're not just worshiping or not just watching, we want you worshiping with us. So thank you so much for being online with us. Our pastor, Pat Hood, he is in Bangkok today. Talk about living sent. He and our discipleship pastor, Peyton Bullen, are there opening up a brand new building for our LifePoint Bangkok campus. Yes, praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Across all of our campuses, people have been involved in giving through the one day offering, and that makes a huge difference. And people are able to worship in a brand new space, a much larger space as that body's been growing. So thank you. We look forward to him being back with us. Again, Luke chapter 9 that Kyle just read just a few moments ago, we're going to walk through chapter 9 and look at those verses that he read. So we'll kind of walk through that just a little bit. I am a picture taker. My family kind of, they're used to it by now. I'm always walking around going, somebody taking pictures of this? I want to make sure there's some pictures of this. I want to make sure that we have pictures. But as a result, I've got pictures everywhere. I mean, I've got them on the Amazonian, on the Googles. I've got them in these clouds out here somewhere. I've got them on zip drives. I've got them. I'm trying to get all of these photos compiled. And here's something that I've noticed with pictures, with snapshots, with moments in time. Do you realize that we don't take pictures, at least of adult bad things? We always take pictures of kids when they're like crying and all that kind of stuff, and we laugh at it later, but we don't take pictures of bad things. We take pictures of good things, things that remind us of something. You can even look at Instagram and see that. On Instagram, there are no bad photos. They've been touched up, they've been edited. They're all about our best days. I had the opportunity this week, and as a pastor, I get to do this quite a bit. Meet with someone to talk to them in one of their most difficult moments in life, a funeral. And when I'm meeting with them, I'm always asking, hey, do you have pictures? Let's get pictures out. Let's look at them. Let's talk about them. Because here's what I know. Pictures are, they're a gift. I mean, it is incredible to have pictures to look at. But when we look at them, they remind us, don't they, of like sweet times. It may be the most sad moment. You may be in the middle of suffering. You may be in the middle of pain. But when you get those pictures out, it's like you're lifted. It's like that you have something to walk. It gives you a little pep in your step. It never fails when I'm meeting with people walking through their most difficult times. They look at those pictures, and there may be tears, but they're tears of joy because they're remembering great things. Well, this is what's happening, I believe, in the passage that we're going to talk through this morning. Luke chapter 9, there's a point, this little snapshot, if you will, this little picture that we have that Jesus says, hey, I want you to come with me. In fact, what he's done is he's invited three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. He's invited them up on a mountain, and he wants them to catch something. Do you remember last week when Pat was preaching about Peter's confession? They were at a little mountainous area called Caesarea Philippi, and all of these idols are around. And what does Jesus ask his disciples? All 12 of them. Boys, gather up. He's standing there. They're at this fount, at this free-flowing water where all of these shrines are. He says this, hey, who do people say that I am? He's John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah. Some think you're one of the prophets. And then he like pinpoints and he looks at them in the eye. I can imagine he's looking around at people in the eye. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter steps forward. Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. And ding, 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 ding. That's right. That's right. Peter, on that right there, that message that you just gave, I'm going to build my church on that message. Wherever the name of Jesus is proclaimed, and I need to make sure that you hear this, today, the reason that we've gathered here is to proclaim Jesus. Listen, I'm thankful that we have a great band, and listen, hopefully the speaking lives up to that, the preaching, but we're not depending on that. We're depending on, you know what we're depending on? We're depending on Jesus today. He's the one that we're lifting up. And wherever the name of Jesus is proclaimed as holy, and wherever the name of Jesus is proclaimed as the living Son of God, he said, I'm gonna build my church. The disciples are probably pumped right now. We got it one right. That's awesome. And then all of a sudden, Jesus steps up and he says, but guys, listen, in anywhere the transfiguration, that's what this passage is called, the transfiguration. Anywhere you read about this in Mark or Matthew or Luke, the very next things he begins to talk to them about is this. Guys, listen, I'm about to head to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to rise again. And they're probably like, this is where Jesus kind of comes in and buckles the kneecaps. He knocks the wind out of their sail. They're thinking, we just called everything out right. And now, Jesus, what are you doing? And he says, but I want you to hear me. Listen, guys, if you're going to follow me, you're with me. If you're going to follow me, you need to know this is going to cost you. He says, if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross. Yeah, I'm headed to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. But you've got a cross that you have to pick up and you've got to do that daily. And if you're not willing to suffer for my name, you're not worthy to be one of my disciples. You're not worthy to be one of my disciples. So here, Jesus, catch this. I'm not even to the first point yet. Catch this. Jesus has just told them, after they have gotten to the greatest discovery confession, he says, listen, but there's going to be some difficult days coming ahead. And you know why I think he has the transfiguration means this. It means that your figure, your outward being is changed. Transformation, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's an internal thing. Transfiguration is something that happens on the outward portion. So what Jesus does is he takes, right after this confession time, he takes three of his disciples, Peter, the spokesman, who's going to be the one that kind of leads out with the disciples. He takes James, the very first disciple who's going to be martyred 10 years later after his crucifixion, after Jesus' crucifixion. He takes John, who's going to be the very last disciple alive, who suffers greatly for his name's sake, for the name and sake of Jesus. He takes them up on a mountain because I believe one of the reasons that this is in scripture, this this moment, this snapshot time, I think he takes them up there because he wants them to know, listen, if you're gonna follow me, there's gonna be difficult points, there's gonna be suffering, there's gonna be pain, there's a cross you've gotta bear. But I want you to know who you're following. In fact, I'm going to give you a remembrance right now. I'm going to give you a mental picture that's never going to go away from you. Because I want you to remember this. And there are three remembrances I think he's going to give us out of this passage. When I say that, I want you to take these down, all right? Here are the three. The first one is this. The transfiguration moment, this picture, he wants us to remember who he is. He wants us to remember who he is. Number two, the second remembrance is he wants us to remember what he is saying and what's being said in this moment. And the last thing is this, he wants us to remember where he sits when he's gone. So with that, in Luke chapter 9, look at verses 28 through 33. I'm not gonna read all of that. Kyle has already done that. But I want to point it out to you. Verse 28, do you see what verse 28 says? Verse 28 says that Jesus, he took his three disciples, those three who were the inner core, and they went up on a mountain. Now, mountains are very, very unique in scripture. Wherever you see a mountain, usually the Mount of God, when you walk up on a mountain in biblical text, you're meeting with God. That's who may ascend the holy hill, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord. It's symbolic all through scripture of meeting with God. And what Jesus says here is I'm gonna take you three, we're gonna go up. And what Jesus does on a mountain all throughout scripture, he eats on a mountain, he prays on a mountain, he teaches on a mountain. We're gonna see today he's transfigured on a mountain. We're gonna see in the next couple of weeks that he is crucified on a mountain. He's going to ascend back to heaven. From a mountain. Wherever you see Jesus on a mountain, you need to go, that's important. I wanna know what's happening right there. And so Jesus takes his disciples, they go up on a mountain, and we don't know exactly what time they went. We know it was dark because the scripture says that Peter had to wake up. He was trying to wake up. So it could have been after midnight at some point. You know, Jesus preaches, he teaches, he heals. He's been doing all these great things. And then all of a sudden, they go up on this mountain. Could have been early, early in the morning. He says, hey, boys, wake up and go with me. We're going to go up on the mountain. What did Jesus do? The scripture says very early, he would rise. He would go away while it is still dark and he would pray. So Jesus and the three disciples, they go up on this mountain and they begin to pray. And the scripture says, here's what the scripture tells us, that Jesus changed in his appearance. His face changed. He began to light up. He began to glow. He began to radiate, and his appearance completely looked different. This reminds me of a passage where John, who's with them on the Mount of Transfiguration, the revealing of who he is. This reminds me of a passage over in Revelation chapter 1. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Revelation chapter 1. That's near the end. Jesus is revealing himself more now. And Revelation 1, verse 14 through 15 says this. John's writing and he says, the hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. Here, John sees at the end of his life, Jesus again in his full glory. What he's seeing on the Mount of Transfiguration, transformation, on the Mount where he is revealing his true glory to his three disciples, what he sees blows him away, blows Peter away, blows James away. You see, the disciples had seen the one who just a week later, The scripture says 8 days prior, they had the confession where you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, it's flesh and bone didn't reveal this to you. This is from the Father in heaven. He's the one that revealed this to you. Why did the Father have to reveal it? Because what they saw for 33 short years is Jesus in his full humanity. They saw him eat, sleep, drink. They saw him get tired. They saw him weep like we did. And in this moment right here, Jesus says, listen, you guys have been, you've confessed me that I am the Son of the living God. I've told you I'm about to be crucified. There's going to be suffering for you. Come with me. Come with me, this inner sanctum, because I want you to see me in my full glory. I want you to see me unveiled as I truly am. You see, Jesus was truly God and truly man. He was fully God and fully man. He wasn't 50% God and 50% man to make a whole person on earth. No, he was 100 and 100%. He always radiates with glory. And this is what he wants them to see. He wants them to see him as he truly is, because he knows the days are coming. He knows they're coming. Listen, you've confessed me. Some of you in here right now in this very room, you've confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. You love him with all of your heart. And what he is wanting us to see today is that in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your questioning, whether it's family, medical, relational, whatever it is, hey, remember who I am. I am the living God, the one who has eternally existed, the one who was and is and always will be. This is who I am. And it doesn't matter where you're sitting today. Hey, guys, listen, Peter, James, and John, it's about to get bad, but you need to know that the living Son of God has walked among you, and I am trustworthy no matter what. No matter what. And suddenly, look at verse 30. Suddenly in verse 30, the scripture tells us that Moses and Elijah show up. Peter has woken up because he's kind of the one, Luke is the one talking through. So he wakes up and he's kind of like, what is this? There's Moses, there's Elijah, there's Jesus. He's trying to figure out what this is. We don't fully know how they knew that it was Moses and Elijah, but what it does reveal to us is this, I believe, is that in heaven we will be fully known. We will know and be known by our loved ones and by others, because he knew exactly. Remember, they didn't have any pictures to go by, but he saw them and he knew this is who this is. And Jesus and Moses, listen, Jesus comes at this moment, and I really believe what the symbolic nature of what we see here, this is a very real passage, a very real thing that I believe truly happened. But the symbolism behind it is so great. You know, Moses, you remember what Moses did, don't you? Moses led the captives. He led the Exodus. He led the captives. He led the Israelite people, God's chosen people. He led them out of Egyptian captivity. Do you realize that Jesus himself came at the perfect time? At the perfect time, at the fullness of time, the scripture says that he came to set the captives free, to lead a new exodus for those of us who are in Christ. Do you realize those of us who are in Christ, we were at once bondage to sin? We think, no, I'm a free person. No, the scripture tells us we were born in bondage to sin. You know why we sin? Because we were born in bondage to it. And Jesus came and he died on a cross so that you and I might have eternal life, but more than just eternal life, abundant life here, free from that sin. To be set free, to lead a new exodus, to lead you from your sin to your freedom. Your freedom. Not only did Jesus come to lead a new exodus, but do you remember Moses on the second time down the mountain with the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments? The first time he went up and got the Ten Commandments, he came down, and when he came down, he saw everybody, they were like messed up. They were worshiping these little idols and all those things. Moses, in his holy, righteous temper, threw down the Ten Commandments. They shattered. God said, listen, I'm gonna spare them, and I'm going to give you now a new set of Ten Commandments, new tablets. They're not changing, the new set. Come back up. It says he went up for 40 days and then he came down. And when he came down, Moses' face shone because he had been in the presence of the glory of God. The scripture says he was in the presence of the glory of God. The cloud came down. And he communed with God. And when he came down, there was a visible expression that he had been before God because his face shone. Jesus, here at the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't shine because he had been in the presence of God. He radiated eternal glory because Jesus is God. He is God. He is the eternal triune God. And this is how he chose to reveal himself to these three disciples. Listen, I know it's coming, guys. I know it's coming, but I'm leading you somewhere. I'm leading you on an exodus to the cross. The path you're going to walk, the path I'm going to walk, it is lined and laced with suffering. But I need you to know, as the living Son of God, I've got you. You can stand. Remember who I am. Well, what about Elijah? Elijah was known as the greatest prophet. But I want to say to you, Jesus didn't come to be the next prophet, as Islam says. Jesus came to fulfill all prophecy. He's the one that the prophets foretold. He's the one. There is no more prophecy. He is here. He didn't come to abolish the law that Moses gave. He came to fulfill the law for righteousness so that you and I could be set free from the law of sin and bondage and death. Is anybody out there today? You see, because where you're sitting right now, where you're standing, where you're walking through, where I'm walking, we forget, don't we? We forget all that he's done, and we need to be reminded of who he is, who we've submitted our lives to, who we say, listen, I'm trusting you, Jesus. I'm trusting you with my eternal life. God, you sent your son, and he died. I'm following him. And then all of a sudden, we get real shaky. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I? He's turned his back on me. Listen, I need us to understand something. Jesus didn't send his son to die for us just to leave us. You see, we have to remember who Christ is right in the midst of this. And if we're not careful, you, me, we could fall prey to Muslims. You know, Muslims believe in Jesus, but they believe he was just a great prophet. He was the next prophet. Muhammad came after him, and he's got a new word for us. Jews, he's not the Messiah. He's not the Christ. He's not the living Son of God. He was a good teacher. Yeah, he walked the earth, but no, he wasn't secular humanist. They sit around and look at us, and you could fall prey to this even and think, well, maybe he's just a good addendum. I'll make sure that I cover all my bases. Ladies and gentlemen, church, body, I want to be really clear here. Jesus shares no platform with any person. He is one and stands alone. He is holy. He is righteous. He is above all. He is holy other. Holy other. This is the one who went up on the mount, brought Peter, James, and John because he wanted them to be ready. Today, I want you to be ready. You're either walking through suffering, you're in it, or it's coming, and Jesus has not left you. You have to remember who he is. He saved you. He'll save you in the midst of where you are today. It may not look like you want, like you envisioned, but he will not leave you, disciple. The second remembrance that he wants us to see as he's revealing himself is this. He wants us to remember what was said. He wants us to remember what he said. In verse 33, do you remember Peter said this. Peter said, hey, this is so cool. How about we build some tents here? I'm gonna put 3 tents up. And Jesus, don't you think that would be all right? I mean, he's trying to do the right thing, but Luke says he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't realize it. You ever done that? You ever thought you were trying to help? You open your mouth, insert your foot. I'm thankful for my wife. She's good at pulling mine out. What ends up happening is the scripture tells us that, it intimates to us that he thinks Jesus and Moses and Elijah are the same. They're all equal. They're not. You need to know that. Moses and Elijah worship Jesus. And it's as if the way this was written right here, that he says that, and as he's saying it, God shows up. That cloud, the scripture says, comes down on the mountain again. Comes down on the mountain. And as that cloud comes down, God says, and Peter, James, and John hear the exact same thing that he said at Jesus' very first come and see moment, his baptism. Look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. Verse 35, he said, this is my son, my chosen one. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to him. That word listen could also be translated obey. He says, hey, listen, I want you to remember, last week you confessed him to be the living Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, and now then that you're here on this mountain, you're trying to make him equal with Moses, equal with Elijah. He's not. This is my chosen son. I'm gonna confirm the confession, Peter, that you made last week. Here we are. And he says, I want you to listen to him. Obey him. This moment, this transfiguration moment, do you know what it did? It marked Peter to the core. This week, I got a wedding announcement from somebody and an invitation. When I turned it over to open it, it had this cool wax that they had dropped on it, and they took this stamp and they pushed it in to where there was an indelible mark. I didn't want to open it. I got my knife and slit the top because I thought that was so cool. Do you know what this thing right here did? This indelibly marked Peter and John. They were never the same. They could go back to that real-time picture and remember. So much so, look at 2 Peter. Turn in your Bibles. Turn back to 2 Peter or somewhere on your phone, your iPad. I want you to see 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, one of the apostles that was there, the one who was doing all the talking, here's what he said. 2 Peter 1, verses 17, 18, and 19. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about God. He's talking about the three of them. He says, for when he, Jesus, received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, God, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Peter, James, and John. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Do you catch here what he's saying? He says, listen, we were on the mountain. We saw it. We heard what he said. And now I am so more fully confirmed in who it is that I follow today. I'm following him. In fact, what he told me on the mountain, when that voice, the majestic glory spoke and said, hey, the way you obey me is to obey the Son. And the way you obey the Son is to obey the word, the prophetic word. You see, in the midst of where we are so often, which is our suffering, our sin, our, Lord, what are you doing? You've got me here. You didn't answer my prayer the way I thought I wanted it answered. We begin to question. And then what ends up happening, I hear this all the time. Man, I'm not seeing anything in the word. I'm not hearing from God. He feels like it's so quiet. And I want to encourage you with this. You realize when you read scripture, when scripture speaks, it is God speaking to you. And I always tell folks, I'm not trying to be crass, I'm not trying to be like talk down to them, but I always say, if you really want to hear God speak through the word, then read it out loud. Because this is his word. This doesn't contain God's word. This is his word. And so when we read it, it is his word to us, to remind us. Number one, this is who he is. And so when we read it, we're being reminded, this is what he has said. You are a child of God. I have called you out of a far land. Just like I called Abraham, just like I called Ruth, just like I led the Israelites out of Egypt and out of Babylon, I've called you from a far country. I've set you free by the power of Jesus, who is truly God, truly man. Remember, I'm not leaving you. This is my son. Obey him. Do you remember the very first week of Come and See series? There was a moment where at the water to wine, when the Jesus' very first miracle, do you remember they ran out of wine, it was all gone. Mary, his mom, comes back and says, Jesus, you got to do something. We need some wine. And Jesus looks at her and says, woman, that's the way I said it. I don't know if he said it exactly that way. But he said, woman, it's not my time. What did she do? She looked at the servants, looked at him, looked at the servants, said, whatever he tells you to do, you do that. Do you know that's exactly a word for you and me today? When God speaks in his scripture, no matter what situation you find yourself in, if it's a tough situation, a suffering situation, a great situation, a questioning situation, when his word speaks, it is his voice speaking to us saying, do what Jesus has said. What the word says, we do. Some of us are so worried about getting a new word, we need to stop worried about getting a new word. We need to obey the word that he's already told us that we already know. When the Bible says, be baptized, I don't know any Christian that's not baptized. If you say you're a follower of Christ, you don't want to be baptized, but you don't want to be baptized, you probably aren't a believer in Jesus Christ. Some of you are going, wow, I can say that. I'm going back to Riverdale. When the Bible says that we're to be generous people, that we're to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that means that we're to be generous people. We're to give our finances. When the Bible tells us that we are to kill sin, if there is sin in your life that you're petting, you're protecting, that you are so easily encumbered by, as Hebrews tells us, and you will not crucify it, something's off. Thank you, I am. I'm telling you, I appreciate that. Y'all keep it coming. I love it. It keeps me going. Listen, in the midst of where you are, in the midst of the pathway of suffering, you realize that the pathway of glory for our Savior was suffering. And he says, if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. You realize that following Jesus today in our chaotic, confusing world, we're going to suffer. We are. Don't let it catch you off guard. He's already told us this. He's also said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you this snapshot. You've called me the Son of Christ, the Son of God, the living Son of God, your Messiah. Do what I'm telling you. I have you. I have you. This is what he's saying to the closest three. And there's a third remembrance that he gives us. The third remembrance is this. Not only do we remember who he is, not only do we remember what he said, but number three, we remember because of the transfiguration, the revealing, we remember where he sits today. We have to remember where it is that he sits today. The transfiguration is a glimpse of the divine glory of Jesus Christ. The Lord God met Jesus on the mountain. Moses and Elijah came to worship him, and I believe Jesus was saying, hey, listen, this is what's coming. This is my exodus. Thank you, Moses, for your first Exodus. You need to know this is my Exodus. There's no more prophets, Elijah. I'm it. I don't think I caught them off guard, but in that moment, they worshiped. They worshiped. He reminded them that, hey, I'm about to go back to the Father. I'm going to be crucified in just a few moments. Do you remember when Moses, when he led the captives, the Israelites, to the Red Sea, and he gets to the Red Sea, and that Red Sea stands between them and the Promised Land? Do you remember what Moses did? The scripture says he raised his hands, the rod of God, and what did God, not the rod, what did God do? He tore open that sea. Moses and Elijah, I need you to know, I'm about to go to another mountain. It's called Calvary. And I'm going to lift up my hands, and they're going to put me on a cross. They're going to crucify me. But Moses and Elijah, hey, listen, don't worry, because in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. 40 days, I'm going to be here with them, kind of get things tidied up, and then I'm going to give it to the boys, and they're going to take it from here. And I want them to remember. I want them to know. Moses, Elijah, I want Life Point Church to know. I've got this. I'm sitting on the throne today. You know, the scripture tells us that at the perfect time, Philippians chapter 2 says, at the right time, God sent his son. He took on flesh and bone. He laid his life down. He didn't come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom. The scripture very clearly in Hebrews chapter 10 says that when he completed that and he went back to the Father, that he sat down on the throne where he still sits today. The scripture tells us that no one knows except the Father. Jesus said, no one knows but the Father. There's going to be a day when I return. And church, people, I need you to hear, when he returns, he's not going to return as a savior. He's going to return as a judge. His saving will have already been done. This is why you're here today. You think you came because there's a cool band, there's some folks, there's a crazy dude going to speak today. Listen, I'm going to see my friends, we're going to be together. But the Holy Spirit has brought you here today to confront you with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Remember me starting out? The only one we lift up is Christ. You know why we lift him up? Only him? Because he said that when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And so today, he wants you to know, to be with him, it's going to be where he sits today, reigning in glory, when he comes. If we have never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the scripture says that we'll die apart from him. I believe in a real place called heaven. Therefore, ergo, I must believe in a real place called hell. And I don't want any of us to be separated from that. I don't want you to be separated from Jesus. But you know what? In my deepest, darkest times, death, running, financial situations, kids gone mad. Hey, because we're pastors don't mean that everything is cookies and Kool-Aid. There's always a picture that the Lord brings back to me. A picture, a snapshot. He reminds me, Kyle, you trusted me. The living God, the one we sang, the living God, you've trusted me. He calls me to remember his word. And in his word, the picture that he leaves me with, that I ask you to be left with today, to remember, is in Revelation 22, 1 through 7. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree, they were for healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no lamp, light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, mark this, he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord God of the spirits of the prophets has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. As I look around and the wickedness, the confusion, the chaos, he calls me to remember who he is, what he has said, and where he sits today on the throne, coming again fully. And I don't know where you are personally, but I want you to know, if you don't know Christ as Savior, today you can. If you have not been obeying his word, follower of Jesus, today, I'm asking you to examine, am I in Christ? If you are in Christ, then I'm asking you to repent of not following his word and come back to him today. Today, if he's called you to be baptized, to begin giving, I need someone to pray with me. Man, the Spirit has done something. I just want to pray with someone. When I close in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to go out the doors and to the right to the connect area. Take that connect card. If you don't know what to say, just go up and say, hey, the guy told me to come here. I need help. We want to walk with you. We want you to remember Jesus and him alone today. Lord Jesus, we love you. We honor you. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this body. Lord, I'd ask God that you do a great work today as we go from this place today. Father, may we talk about you and your son and all that you've done. Thank you. Thank you for setting the captives free. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. Before you leave, if you're a student in here today, I'm going to ask as you get home, I want you to look at your parents and say, hey, tell me about when Jesus changed you, when you realized that he was the true Son of God. Tell me about that. Parents, how about you beat them to the punch and you just go ahead and start talking about it.